And to finish our programme today, we've a special, it says in the papers, from 1918, brought to you by John S. Doyle.
The men and women of Ireland are called upon to answer today one of the most serious questions that ever faced a people. So says the Freeman's Journal in a very lengthy editorial on the subject of the general election. Almost two-thirds of the electors will exercise the franchise for the first time in their lives, says the writer. By their decision, the whole course of future events in Ireland may be determined. Yet, grave as is the issue, it is literally true to say that the people have neither the material nor the light necessary for a rational judgment on that issue. The paper describes the election as a leap in the dark and expresses concern that the weapons and methods of Grattan, O'Connell, Butt, Parnell and Redmond, by which the Irish nation was led from the sloughs of despair and misery to its present position of conscious strength and comparative prosperity, are to be abandoned. The Irish Times, in an editorial, predicts that Sinn Féin will carry the whole of nationalist Ireland and says the party hopes to win 75 seats. Indeed, the writer says there are not more than six where the return of an official nationalist can be expected with any measure of certainty. In these circumstances, says the Times, the only voices which will be raised in the new Parliament against the contemplated betrayal of Ireland will be those of the Southern Unionists who are successful in these elections. The Irish Independent runs nine photographs under the headline Candidates and Men Returned, though in fact one of those pictured, already elected unopposed, is a woman, Countess Markovic. From the north, the Times reports on the rally for Captain Charles Craig. Sir Edward and Lady Carson motored from Belfast and were met outside the town of Lisburn by a torchlight procession headed by two bands, which escorted them to the Orange Hall, where a large and enthusiastic meeting was held. The Journal reports from Connacht. The eve of the polling found the supporters of Mr. Dillon of the Irish Party and Mr. De Valera of Sinn Féin very active in all parts of East Mayo, says the paper. The day was beautifully fine and evidences of the greatest activity were to be met with in every district. Both sides are satisfied that they have had a fair innings with the voters. Mind you, the paper also reports that in one house in the Foxford parish, Mr. Dillon was told by its occupants that they were afraid that if they supported him, they would be murdered and their house set on fire. But it's not all politics. The Independent reports that sensational scenes marked the trial in Dublin yesterday of a man on charges of obtaining various sums of money by bogus cheques and false pretences, posing in one instance as the Archbishop of Dublin's valet. The prisoner, John MacDonald, described as being a man of splendid physique who entered the dock without coat or waistcoat, had to be forcibly detained during portion of the proceedings, at one time five policemen having to be requisitioned. He then resorted to the singing of music hall ditties, and this ultimately necessitated his removal. In his absence, the paper says, he was found guilty, and on his reappearing to receive a sentence of 5 years penal servitude, it was found he had divested himself of his shirt and had nothing on but his trousers. His reply to the judge on hearing the sentence was, "Thank you very much." But back to the election. There's much coverage in all papers of the final Sinn Féin rally in Dublin. From about 8 o'clock last night until the approach of midnight, the pavements in Upper and Lower Sackville Street were thronged by a dense crowd of people of both sexes, says the Times. Mrs. Pearce, mother of Patrick Pearce, in a brief speech, opened the meeting at the pillar. O'Connell Street presented an extraordinary spectacle, says the Independent. Bands, banners and torchlights lent animation to the proceedings and thousands of people crowded the great thoroughfare almost throughout its entire length. The Freeman's Journal says that bodies of volunteers were posted at many points along the thoroughfare and in the side streets, most of them carrying sticks. Father Michael O'Flanagan, Sinn Féin Vice President, was the principal speaker, and he delivered five speeches at various portions of the street. He said that the night of Irish slavery was past and the day of their freedom was at hand. Mr. Pearce Beasley also spoke. As the Times reports, he said that they would not have any tuppence halfpenny measure of home rule, but were out to demand the complete evacuation of Ireland, bag and baggage, by the English forces. The Independent says that Mr. M. Collins, another of the new Cork County members, told the crowd they stood that day at one of the great turning points in Irish history. And if the right thing was done by the people, as he knew it would be, the men of the next generation would recall December 14, 1918 as the beginning of Irish freedom.
It's almost 9 o'clock on RTE Radio 1. Time to celebrate Opel's 120-year anniversary with even more ways to save at your local Opel dealership now.
The outcome of Brexit may not be certain, but one thing is clear. Your business could face serious challenges. Enterprise Ireland can help your business respond to the risks and opportunities which Brexit presents.